Hare Krishna. Welcome this Thursday this seminar. I'm apologizing, Maharaj, that I was not sending the questions, but they arrived not so much before, then I will read it from the paper.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
And first question, so Chitra Devi had one question and she will.
So, in the community of devotees, there are kids of devotees and young devotees, like 3 or 4 years in movement, and they are in the same or similar age as the kids of devotees, like teenagers or early 20s. And from these young devotees, community expects to behave like pure devotees immediately. Like now, you are here. Forget about all your bad habits and behave properly. And if they make a mistake in rules or regulations, they are mocked or criticized or sometimes even kicked out. But if the same mistake with the kids of devotees, there is an excuse that, you know, they are kids of devotees, they need to learn and find themselves. And I personally do not see it as a good approach, that it does not help anybody to community and like community at all. So what would be the best approach in such a cases?
So it means you're looking at, you have souls. And those that come and surrender to Krishna are interested in taking part in something connected with Krishna, then that's very special, that's very unique. We see that when Lord Chaitanya, I think he's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he's discussing with Srila Rupa Goswami. He's mentioning out of unlimited living entities in the universe, a small amount, a few of them are human. Then of all the human beings, then, you know, I mean, only a few of them are civilized. And of those, only some are interested in, you know, God's laws and that. Of those, then only a few, you know, come to self-realization of that. Only like this, it just keeps going. So the amount of devotees and that people who are actually serious is not so many. So, but we see is by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the founder Acharya, then we see, you know, quite a few devotees because Lord Chaitanya said it will spread. So when you're dealing with the children, then you have to see is that, I mean, like you said, there has to be a consistency. It's because the point is people do things wrong because they've been doing things wrong since time immemorial. So what you want to see is that someone is, if they're committed to doing wrong or they don't see the benefit of doing things right and they influence others, then you might make some separate arrangement. Right, but if that's not there, then you know whatever the mistakes are, then that's the mistakes you deal with. The whole point is that if you expect them to be perfect, then why get involved in education? Education means they're not perfect, and you're trying to make them perfect. You know, that would be just like, oh yes, I want to be a cook and I want to, you know, do all these nice things and, you know, the variety and all the techniques, but, you know, it actually should be when I walk in the kitchen, everything's already prepared. So all I have to do is throw it in the pot and then, you know, move it around and then it should be done immediately. So therefore the best thing would be, you know, stuff that microwave dinners, you know, so one has to appreciate that. You can't have a different standard because they're the children of devotees and that they're children of that are people who are newer. Because for the kids, it's new, it's fresh. If you have the kid, he's not into it, he doesn't want to be there, somehow his parents want him to be there, he really doesn't want to be there, then that's another consideration. Then you see is, okay, well, maybe we have to make a different arrangement for those kind of individuals. But you can't make it that because you make those kind of distinctions. Otherwise, then it's based on what? You know, because it means someone is committed to Krishna consciousness and has their children involved in Krishna consciousness, then that's always a nice thing. And it should be appreciated that way. You know? Because the point has to be is, well, how to get them all. Okay, so if this diff child is not functioning in this environment, what environment will they function in? And then you're looking at, okay, maybe we need some different programs. Someone who's brand new, maybe they have to come in for just certain things in the group, or maybe there's their own group that they learn from, and once they get like that, then they go to the other group. Right? But that makes more sense if the devotees' children never make any major mistakes, and only the children of those who are new to the movement are making mistakes. Then that has some meaning, because then they get some basic training, then they can go in with the others. But if it's just a matter of, if someone who's new to the movement makes a mistake, they get thrown out, but the children of the devotees then doing the same thing, they don't, then that means if you're not throwing the devotees' kids out, why would you be throwing these other kids out? If they're there, they're devotees. I remember Srila Prabhupada, some devotee was telling me, I think it was Pankajangri Prabhu, that they were in the early 70s, they had this Krishna book program where local kind of like, generally it would be like teenagers or college kids or like that, students would come to learn English. They come to the temple, right? And up on the veranda in the lotus building, then, you know, in the back where they serve prasad, they would sit there, you know, a group, there'd be like 30 people there. And then whoever was leading it, you know, I think Pankajangya was leading, I think Bhavananda Prabhu did for some time, you know, different persons would be running it. And they would read, and then, you know, they give how they would do, but, you know, describe what anybody didn't know what a word meant, they would describe what it is. And actually, you know, they learned vocabulary and different things like that. But the emphasis was on, they were hearing Krishna book and they were taking prasad. Right? But this was going on for like a year and a half or so, something like that. And then someone mentioned to Prabhupada, you know, they asked, oh, how's this program going? He says, not so good, Prabhupada. Like that, you know, these boys have been coming for a year and a half hearing Krishna book. No one's becoming a devotee. And then Prabhupada made the point, they're hearing Krishna book every day and they're taking prasad. How are they not devotees? You know, otherwise we get into this caste consciousness, because they're born in the family of devotees, they're fabulous, and if they're not born in the family of devotees, then that. But if we're going to say like that, then who in your community except the kids can say they were born devotees? So therefore, why are they saying, because I've been around for 10 years or 15 or 20, they've only been around 5, so their kids don't count as devotees? You can't say, oh, no, they're not devotee kids? I mean, what are we dealing with here? What's the difference? Because the point is, it's about the kids, not about the parents. So then one has to look at it that, then what to do? Then you might, you know, there might be a few like that. Maybe they have some extra time or some other environments in which you discuss. But the point is if you're looking at it only if they're perfect, I can teach them. No, it's a matter of you learn to deal with them. Right? You have to use your cleverness. It's like, let's say you're doing book distribution. You go out and do book distribution. And at the end of the day, no one takes a book and you come back. And then, you know, then the authorities ask, so how did it go today? You know, like that. Oh, I didn't distribute any books. Oh, why not? You know, like that. Oh, because none of the people were sincere. I would go up to them and tell them about the importance of taking this Bhagavatam and like that, and they weren't interested. And then we're going to say, yes, this is a good book distributor. Will we say? Or will we say, no, he has to figure out how to approach, how to find what catch their attention. In other words, the teacher if the student just, you had a saying in at least in the Western environment, there's no bad students, there's only bad teachers. So that's the whole point. Why would a teacher be respected if they don't put in the effort to do their job? They're just to be respected because they're the teacher? You know, that's the whole thing. Nowadays, everything is cheap. Everything's cheap. And so we have to see that, you know, you weren't supposed to do one's duty. So in other words, you understand the relation, who Krishna is. We understand our relationship. Then the next body of knowledge to understand is, what is our duties? What are we supposed to do? We have our conditioning. What are we supposed to do in connection with Krishna? Right? That's the next thing. So this whole thing is, it just happen automatically. That's all right if you have natural rag or natural attraction to the Lord. You're functioning on the spontaneous platform with no anartas. The spontaneous means there's no intellectual process. When you come in contact with Krishna, there's no intellectual process. You're just attracted. Right? So therefore, if we're not on that platform, then we see Lord Chaitanya then defines the importance of sadhana bhakti. And so that's what's been given to us. That's what we practice. And through that, we purify the heart. Then we start to get a taste. And in this way, then we develop that natural spontaneous attraction. Right? So that's important that we appreciate that. The teacher is to figure out how it works. It's one thing as if they're just constantly, they're bad association because they're not interested. But it's another, they're interested, but they just don't know what to do. But then if the children of our devotees make the same mistakes, that means then the same people that are teaching aren't even teaching their own kids properly. Or you just have to understand these are problems of that particular age. People that are in that particular age group, they make these mistakes. And that's just the way it is. So you have to figure out how to deal with it. But the problem, but point is if you want to have education work, you have to work at it. Just like, let us say someone is going to, has a job, they go outside, right? You know, they get up in the morning, you know, they do whatever they do, and then they go to work, they're there for 8 hours, then they come back home and all that. So those 8 hours, then they have to work, right? Now let's say they're, you know, managing something, they have their own business or that. does it just that all these guys are, you know, we're not making profit because all these people I've hired are no good. Is that going to be accepted in the corporate community? No, you have to figure it out and tell them what to do. Right? Governance, government goes on just because they say. Everybody should behave nicely, and then from that declaration, the whole country behaves nicely? No. So why would it be any different for a Brahminical activity? It happens just because, you know, you're the teacher? No, you have to work. You have to use your brain, what to say, what to do, how to organize the program, how to make it more attractive. That's why then, by only doing that, others appreciate and support that. Otherwise, they're just supposed to take care of you. Why? If you think, I should just be taken care of, whether I'm doing a good job or not, we should understand that's a Shudra mentality. Right? Shudras think socialism. Vaishyas think capitalism. Right? Kshatriyas think administration. Brahmins think knowledge. How to study the knowledge, how to understand it, how to practice it, how to teach it to others, that they become the same. So when we were discussing before about Shravanam, that you hear and remove doubts, Manana, you contemplate it, practice it, you get an understanding. That brings you to Nididhyasana, which means now you realize. And so it's part of your life. That's the three things. The fourth thing in this equation is now you make others like yourself. So therefore, if they're not becoming like yourself, then are you a good teacher? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is we have to see is that it's about the students. And so you have to figure out how to get them to understand, how to get them to be trained.
Yes, the teachers should be educated and trained also.
Yes, but the main training is in devotional service. Are they throwing them out of class because their handwriting's bad? Or they don't know their times tables? Or because they got the grammar wrong? Is that why they're throwing them out of the class?
It's not like that. Because they do not follow or make a mistake in regulative principles or in cleanliness like this, you know?
Okay, so those are all ashram activities, right?
Or they do not follow the authority as they should, of devotees do this, it's tolerated and there are excuses. But like newcomers who are just a few years with devotees, they don't have the chance to learn everything so quickly. They do it, so then they are like...
So who's worse? This person who has only been in the movement a few years and they don't know, or someone who has been in there their whole life and they still don't know? So who's worse?
These who have been the whole life.
Yeah, so the whole point is that it's a matter of educating. People do things wrong because of ignorance.
Exactly.
Right? So therefore, it's a matter of training them. And you can say, they're not trained, but the point is the training is Krishna consciousness. You make someone becomes Krishna conscious from a person who's Krishna conscious. It's not a matter of technique in classroom skills. Because otherwise, if that's there, just go down to the schools these days, the state schools, and you'll see, except for the rare individual, they can't maintain discipline in their class. Their students do not learn. But they've done their 4 years, they've done their internship, they've done all these different things. Some of them have even done postgraduate degrees. If they're teaching in secondary, you have to have have higher degrees and all these things. So they've done all that and they still can't keep that. So that's not what's going to make it happen. But let's say we have a preacher. You know, you have some of these brahmacharis that go out and preach, or some of these other devotees that go travel and preach. They do programs. They make people that's like themselves. So this idea is, we have no training as teachers. But the problem you have is not from being a teacher. Your problem is that from being a devotee.
Yes, but there are courses for pujaris. If they want to be pujari, they have to pass through some course, then they have tests and exams. So shouldn't be there something also for the teachers who want to teach?
It should be, but since when is Brahminical culture appreciated, in general in our movement? Corporate management, yes, that's given the big... push. But Brahminical? You know what I'm saying? The point is what is the qualification for being a teacher? That you are a preacher. We have to understand is learning language and math and that these are arts. It's not science, it's art. So that means if you know it and you have and you're a preacher that you can teach someone Krishna consciousness, why can't you teach them these things also? Okay, if you don't know the local language, then you'll have trouble teaching that. Or if you don't know math, you'll have trouble teaching that. But if you know it, what's the problem? See, as we're putting it, we're putting the emphasis on knowledge and skills. But knowledge and skills are based on the senses. Right? Scientific knowledge is based on what you perceive with your senses. Modern scientific knowledge. It's anamoy. Right? Devotees are working at the platform of vijnanamoy. They understand we're the soul, not the body. And so we're trying to develop our relationship with Krishna. So if they themselves can be situated in Krishna consciousness, you can help others do this, become the same. And then along with that, you happen to be using language and math and general knowledge, you know, or Krishna conscious, you know, subjects as the medium for this exchange. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is that the movement is somehow or another, in the last few years, it's been coming for time since the mid-90s, but they're getting some you know, traction now, that it's all about knowledge and skills. Well, no, it's all about Krishna consciousness. Because you can have knowledge and skills coming out your ears, but if you're not Krishna conscious, you cannot make anyone else Krishna conscious. You will not be able to manage one of our temples and have it prosper just by knowing management skills. Especially if you have to go to a class, a 10-day class, to learn management skills, you're not a manager. Does that make sense? It's just like if I ran a 10-day course on business, and a guy who knows nothing, then suddenly after 10 days, now he can run a business? Right? All these big CEOs and all that, that started their own businesses, what class did they go to? So that's the meaning of guna and karma. You have the qualities, you can do the work. So to make excuses and I'm doing something, I can't control the devotees, so therefore I'll get upset with those that I call not devotees. But right there, that's already a problem. Means if you go back into the 60s and 70s, how long was Shivananda Prabhu a devotee before Prabhupada sent him to Germany to start the yatra? 6 months. So you see, as these devotees, after 3 months, 6 months, or like that, they went. Means, you know, Tamal Krishnamars and all them, they all went, you know, and started the yatra in London. They just went and did it. They used their intelligence. So that's the point. This is called buddhi yoga. This whole thing is, oh, I don't have the skills. But even if you do, they still can't teach. So these courses are nice, but that means someone who has, they're more like workshops, someone who has that ability, they go and then they help others who have an interest in the field, what's the mentality, what's the mood, what are different techniques that can be used, but it's all individual. How somebody runs the class from one to the next, if you're trying to make it all exactly the same, that means you're not a Brahmin, you're not a teacher, you're a bureaucrat, and you will fail. You can put that in writing. Maybe you can't teach many people, but you can teach. So that's the whole thing, is that if you can't make them like yourself, then how are you a teacher? So to just say, oh, they've only been in the movement 3 or 4 years... In the early 70s and late 60s, people were taking sannyas after 3 years. Literally. Right? Literally, after 2-3 years. Bhakti Charumars, after, I think, 9 months, took sannyas. He got first and second initiation together after 3 months and took sannyas after 9 months. Others complained, oh, you know, he's so young, he's so new. But Prabhupada didn't care. You know, you see potential. So are we seeing potential, or we're just seeing the externals? Are we seeing a potential in somebody? You know, it's just like this. Let's say we go out and we're out in the, you know, we go out camping. We're out in the forest, right? We need to start a fire. Okay? Now, when you start a fire, what are you starting with? Right? You have a whole lot of stuff. You just go, I want a fire, and boom, here's a fire. What are you starting with? You're starting with something very small.
With a match.
Yeah, you take a match, you put it there, and you got this much fire. What do? You blow, you fan, you put the good stuff. So fire goes out, then you say, oh, this was a new fire. It's no good. It's a new fire. Or will you say that, no, you're not, you don't know how to work with fire. So people have to understand what they're doing. Otherwise, they don't. You study, you teach. That's the duty. You know? Does that make sense? Now, if you had said, see, if you had I'm talking like this because the point's been made. The new person makes a mistake, they get thrown out. A devotee's kid makes the same exact mistake, they don't get thrown out. Therefore, that means the teacher is not knowing what to do. If you're saying these new people come in, they behave badly, and all these kids that are grown up in the movement, they get so disturbed and they get distracted, some even leave the movement, then you'd say, make a separate program for them. But that's not what's being heard here. What's being heard here is we don't know how to teach. And then we use an excuse to throw this guy out, and then I feel I'm doing something. That's why you see bureaucrats always come down with these heavy things, because bureaucrats do nothing, or very minimal in practical work. So if they make some very strong thing and strong statement, then people think, oh, he's doing something. No, he's not. Throwing people out is the easiest thing to do. Training people. That's what Prabhupada talks about. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati talks about. He says it takes gallons of blood. And by blood, he means effort, right? You have to put in so much. And Prabhupada said, and quoting from his spiritual master, if one person in your whole lifetime of preaching, one person becomes a pure devotee, then all of your whole lifetime's work is successful. So Prabhupada's saying, if out of all the people that he's contacted and preached and worked with during that whole time when he was preaching, if one of them goes back to Godhead, the whole thing was worthwhile. So if we understand what the mission is, you don't throw out these new guys' kids for doing exactly the same thing. In other words, if those kids do and our kids do and like this, then the point is that's what kids do. Most people don't like working with teenagers because they're a bit of a trip. They got false ego. And the adult has false ego. And the teenager, because they have no attachment to it, they can point out your faults, and no one likes that. They're clever. So you have to be more clever than them, that's all. You know, so that's the whole point, is understand what it means to be a teacher, and then go for it. Now, of course, you're looking for students that have that respect, have that thing, have an interest in learning. But if the mistakes they're making are due to lack of training or bad habits, you can't count that as a fault. That's a weakness, but it's not a fault. They came like that. You know, it's how you say? Yeah, you just have to appreciate that, know that that's part of what the training is, how to get that respect, how to deal. And it's not because I said so. It's because, you know, this is what the acharya has given you. This is what happens. You follow this. This is the benefits. That's the fourth aspect of knowledge, pure knowledge, is understanding what's the results of understanding about Krishna and yourself as the soul and your duties towards Godhead. What are the benefits? And then the fifth aspect of pure knowledge is therefore then. If you don't use it properly, what are the bad results? You know, it's just like Upadeshamrita. It says, you do these six things, it cultivates bhakti. You do these six things, then bhakti gets destroyed. It's straightforward. Upadeshamrita is there. So this whole enamorment with the modern culture that they know what they're doing, no, they don't. If they did, why is everything going nuts around us? You know, that's the symptom. But people want to avoid that and blame it on someone. I don't know what they blame it on there, but in America, all the problems are either on global warming, you know, climate change, or on guns, you know, or on Trump. Right, you know, these three things, then whatever's going wrong in the government, that everything's going to hell in a basket, then you can say as it's these three things. But in reality, sorry?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, means every place will have a similar thing. And all it means is that people try to point at something that's not important and say, oh, this is the problem. When the Vedas already say what is the problem, we're attached to mundane identities. So therefore, you have to point out what it means. If you have brains as a teenager, why don't you use it? Because when you get older, then where's the opportunity to develop? This is the time to learn. You want to learn? This is the time you learn. When you get older, you don't have time to learn. You just ask, do you see your parents doing some serious study? No, they're busy. So stop wasting your time and wasting their time. All right? So the point is you have to, the teacher themselves has to be convinced. The leaders have to be convinced. The preachers have to be convinced. Then everybody else will be convinced. And if they're not convinced, nothing's going to happen. I mean, of course, if you chant and all that, there's always going to be benefit. But at the same time is, it won't be dynamic. It'll be very slow. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful about this. You know? You see, if the person's a good teacher, you know, a good person, a good devotee, they just have to learn how to think about why they do things and then explain that to the students. Does that make sense? Because all it is preaching. So it says, the mother, the father, and the teacher, these three you have respect for your whole life. So if we're saying, okay, where's the course for becoming a teacher? And everybody's jumping up and down. Where's the course for becoming a parent? Now that's a course I'd like to see. But no. I can have sex, we had a child, so therefore I'm the world authority on raising children. So if that applies like that, then you have some knowledge, you're convinced in Krishna consciousness, then you can teach.
Actually, I also wanted to ask the courses for parents before they become the parents.
They should have courses before they get married.
Actually.
See, is that before marriage, people are willing to learn anything about marriage. After marriage, they're already the world authorities on marriage. Before they have the child, then they're willing to learn about children, but after they have the child, they're the world's authority. That's just the way it is. That's how the modes of nature work. It's called false ego. So that's why in the Vedic culture, these things are trained from the beginning. So sadachar, how to behave and all that stuff, is taught from the beginning. But we think, oh, no, you know, don't be so strict, this and that. But okay, great. If you're not going to be so strict, don't be so strict on these new people also. But why is it on the new people? Oh, I'm so, yeah, no, like that. Then are you doing that with your kids? If not, then why are you doing with them? There has to be consistency. Otherwise, people will go, this person's not consistent, not balanced. And it'll be seen as a weakness, as a fault. So the whole point is cultural training is not there, because the first thing in cultural training, when it says duties, how do you define what your duty is? That's given by the scriptures. Krishna says, you know, how is it? Chaturvarnya maya shrishtam guna karma. Krishna is saying, I made this system. And then the devotees are so proud that they say, oh, but it's Kali Yuga, it doesn't apply now. Krishna made Kali Yuga. He comes, Lord Chaitanya, he's given the mission. What are we talking about? So there's duties and what you're supposed to do. Oh, no, it's just what I feel like and that. So then if everybody does what they feel like, why is it then you're giving, it's punishing someone for doing what they feel like? You know, if you're following the scriptures, then you train others in the scriptures. Is that okay? There's an interesting, just for everybody's note, there's an interesting setting in, you know, next to the microphone thing, when you go into the setting on that you can have a thing, because if you're using a computer, you can set the thing that when you push on the tab, you know, the space bar, by when you, as long as you push it, then it will unmute you. You talk, and when you want, you just let go of it.
Yeah.
I just came across it today, looking at that, trying to set my stuff up.
Yeah. It's better now.
Yeah, because you can just push it and then do it and then let go. Otherwise, every time you have to take the mouse, go click on the thing, do this and that, and then, you know, yeah. But it's just a setting that's there in settings under the, you know, the microphone thingy. Yes, so that's the point, is people should be encouraged, knowing that my qualification for doing anything, for preaching, for teaching, for managing, you know, for being a parent, for being anything, is my Krishna consciousness. That's actually the basis. If Krishna consciousness is there, everything else will follow. And if you think, no, it's a particular skill and all that, even you know the skill, if you don't know the life of it, what does it matter? You know, that's like saying, I know all the techniques of driving, but there's no petrol in the car. You know, hey, check this. You know, you hit the gas like this and the brake like this and you turn the wheel like this and see, we're drifting. And the guy next to him goes, no, we're not. We're not even moving. No, see, we're drifting. No, you're not. You're just sitting here. We're not going anywhere. Don't you notice that, you know, that old lady's walking by us? You know, we're not going anywhere. So that's the whole thing, is that Krishna consciousness is the life. Krishna's already everything. His interest is interacting with the living entity based on their affection for him. That's the real rasa. But we're thinking, no, by mechanically dealing with it, you know, I have here, oh, look at this. I'm the Lord and Master of this, earplug, you know, thing. See, I can open it. I can close it. It opens and closes at my will. I am the Lord. I am the Master. You know, I pick it up, I put it down, I move it to the right, I move it to the left. Ooh, aren't I so fabulous? But, you know, unless you're using it, you know, some way in Krishna consciousness to do something and you're actually hearing things, then what's the point? You know, so that's the whole thing, is we've become distracted since the 90s that the karmis are so expert and we're just a bunch of idiots. We're the smart ones. We took up Krishna consciousness. They're the idiots. They're still in the material world rotting. He's a PhD. He's a Nobel Prize laureate. And then he's dead. And then what? Because he was a Nobel Prize winner, he won't become a dog in his next life? Right? You know, he works with those petri dishes and all those, you know, viruses and all. He's not going to become a virus in his next life? Fauci won't become a COVID-19 virus?
Good chance.
Yeah, good chance, no? Because that's all they think about. So the whole point is that's the whole problem, is we think something else is important other than Krishna consciousness. Then if you have Krishna consciousness, then you add as much as you want. We'll try to get, because I found this to be one of the most difficult points for devotees to understand. Because it's either you're totally in the Krishna consciousness, that means you're doing nothing on the material platform. In fact, how they're even staying alive and breathing, no one understands. And, you know, no, but yes, well, we got to totally get into all this, and somehow or another, by magic, devotional service will happen. So we'll try to give an example and see if this works. Okay, let's say someone's going to learn cooking. Okay? Now, yes, you have so many techniques of cooking, but the important thing is the mentality of cooking for Krishna. Right? You're going to be clean for Krishna. You're going to be thinking it's for Krishna. You're not going to enjoy this. What does Krishna like to eat? You like to cook it in ways he likes to eat. Therefore, you engage the techniques. And so therefore, in that consciousness, where you're always Krishna conscious and doing things for Krishna, you can learn all the variety of techniques how to cook for Krishna. But what's being generally thought is, no, if I'm being conscious of Krishna, I can't cook. We have to be practical, Prabhu. We have to cook. We can't think of Krishna. We can't do all this for Krishna. We got to get people, you know, things cooked. People are hungry. They're going to starve to death. So this is the disease. We can't see that if you're Krishna conscious, then you have a reason for engaging knowledge and skills. But if you're not Krishna conscious, then like Prahlad Maharaj says, Shrama eva hi kevalam, it's just a waste of time. You're going to become whatever it is, the biggest. You're going to get old. Young people come along and say you're an idiot. Then you're going to die. And that's life. That's how it goes on. So the whole point is, you have to appreciate, is value comes to life when it's connected to Krishna. Then you can connect any variety of knowledge and skills. But Prabhupada mentions, science means it can be applied. It is applied. That's why nectar devotion is called the complete science of devotional service, of bhakti yoga. Because that's applied. If you don't apply it, then it's just knowledge. You know, we take it that, oh, you know math, that's science. You know chemistry, that's science. But if you're not using it, it's not science. It's just art. So basically what goes on now in all the schools is art. Who's doing anything? Right? If you're in medical school, yes, you do some practical stuff, but it's only when you're out of school that you start applying it as an intern. Now you're actually using the knowledge. Same with lawyers, same with, you know, engineers. You know, so all these things, oh yes, this is that. They're the ones that are doing practical. Did everybody do that in school? Your 3-4 years to took to do your undergraduate degree, did you do anything practical? So therefore, then it was art. And we need to spend 20 years at art, and then that can't even make a living for it. By going, getting a graduate undergraduate degree, right? A bachelor's degree. Are you able to understand what is relationships? Can you function in a family environment? Do you know how to use money? You know, do you know what's important in life? Nothing. What do they teach you? So where is all this supposed to come from? But it's all, oh no, it's just supposed to happen. So that's the problem. We're teaching the other side what it means to be a human being. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to behave? And then people go, oh, but what about all this stuff, you know, from the West that we call important, that if you're not doing that, then you're not a professional person. You know, I can guarantee you professionals have just as much problem in life as people who are not professionals, and possibly even more. Means, who likes a middle manager in the corporate world? Nobody likes them. The bosses don't like them, but they're necessary. They're a necessary evil. And the workers, they hate them. Because they're so proud that, oh, I went to school, I got my MBA, you know, so I'm God. You know? So the businessman, he thinks they're useful jerks. And the guys below, just, they're jerks. No one likes them. I have a comic book someone gave me. The whole thing, it's this fat. All it is joking on lawyers. It's just goofing on lawyers. You know, so it's like, you know, that's just the way it is. Basically, the common person doesn't like, they have the reverence for it because they have this attitude. Like your doctor says, you know, well, okay, what's wrong? Well, I think it's this, this, this. Oh, you can't say what's wrong. You know, you're not the professional. You don't know this and that. What do you mean? You don't even know. You haven't even checked. You know, you can't tell what the digestion is. An Ayurvedic doctor, he takes the pulse. He can tell. These guys can't tell. But they won't let you give any input because they're the professional. Even though they're in ignorance. So that's the difficulty, is that when the false ego is there, the mundane identity is there, these upadis are there, things don't go well for anybody. The people who stand out in history, you know, as people that they had a humility, they saw their place and how it is, they saw their duties, they will think and act more like what we talk about. And less by what everybody else is doing. Because if everybody does what everybody else is doing, where is the person, you know, doing something new? You know, if you look in the books, what Elon Musk does or what Steve Jobs does or Bill Gates did or like this, these aren't in the books. You won't learn that doing your MBA. But they're the ones that make the money. They're the billionaires. So devotees have more common with the people who practically run things than they do with all these people that have all these intellectual ideas about what's going on. They have their philosophy, it should be like this and should be like that. But the reality is, no, it's already there. You can see the reality. And so that's the point, is that's why Prabhupada, he's talking in his purports about the philosophy and applying that in your life, and about the culture and how to apply that in your life in connection with Krishna. So if that's important to you, you can be a teacher, you can be a preacher, you can be a leader. Right? Then technical points, that's another thing. If you have that conditioned ability, you can do that. But you can lead even if you don't have any material qualification. Because we're leading people to go back to Godhead. Right. Is that okay?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Okay.
We have the one question from Revima Mataji. She wants to ask you that we have the 10 years old boy, and he is very temperamental, and he's also very strong personality. We have the problem to deal with it. And sometimes not decided, a little bit helps when we deal with him like we're partners or friends. But even though it's very difficult, how to approach the children with such strong mentality?
Means just they're just very focused on what they want to do.
Like,
how to deal with the boy that sometimes it's really difficult, you know, because
but that's but who said life is not difficult? Is there anything that's not difficult?
Yes, I would say that like he is more strong personality and more temperament than the parents are, because the parents are more like soft people, you know. And
yes, but the thing is how far is the apple falling from the tree? Right? So that means unconsciousness, there's some aspect that's there from the parents. Maybe they're not as confident, but do they like to work under other people? You're saying that they're not so strong, but do they like to work under other people? Do they prefer to do things on their own? We understand? So all it is just, he's a devotee, and so therefore he's not as mental as his parents, but the nature's the same.
Yeah, so many times I can see that the kids of these are more focused in whatever they do, even if it is good or bad, they are more focused, and parents are not so focused that they cannot handle it.
Yes, but that's the whole point, is that that's what you're dealing with. If you can handle them, you can handle yourself. The whole point is explain things. Take the time to explain and do it again and again and again. The idea is, no, I see, is here's where a mistake can be made. The child has come from the parents, so that the parents will identify that the child is non-different from them. Right? And so therefore they have values, the child naturally has those values. The parents have a particular experience and they change how they want to do things, that should automatically be understood by the child because they're non-different. Right? But the point is the children see the difference. You understand? Krishna sees everything as him. That's the samasti aspect. Then there's the vyasti, where you have the individual living entity, and then, you know, their how they engage themselves, either connected to Krishna or not. So one has to understand, this is the way it is. And so this idea is that, oh, I told him once and nothing happened. I remember one kid came, and his parents were, I think his parents were ashram teachers in a school. So they understood what we were dealing with. And he came in and he had never before in his life did any cleaning. And this guy, he would have been, I'm not sure how old, but I would have think he would have been early teens. You know, I would think maybe like 14 or something like that. So I would have to sit and discuss with him what's the importance of menial service. Why in the Gurukul we sweep, we clean the place. He didn't understand. No, I came here to learn stuff. I should learn stuff. But the point is you don't even know how to clean. That's also an important... So humans are suci. That means they're clean. Right? Malechas and Yavana, they're dirty. So humans mean they're clean. So it's part of learning, you know, like that. So I would have to spend 45 minutes describing it to him. And I would have to, you see, you talk and you see, are they responding? How is it going? I had to change and take 6 different angles until on the 6th one, finally you got through. Right? You're talking, they're looking at you, making direct eye contact. Means they're listening now. So that only happened at the end, and you explain everything like that. Okay? Then naturally you think, I spent 45 minutes, tomorrow the guy should be... Tomorrow exactly the same thing. That went on for 6 weeks. Every day. Maybe it didn't take 45 minutes after, you know, a few weeks. You know, I could do it in a shorter time. But after 6 weeks... he was the best at sweeping, because now he fully understood why, what's there, what's the benefits and all that, and he was very stable in his sweeping. But that's what you have to put in. That's why there's teachers. So if they don't know so much when they come from home, don't be surprised, because parents are busy doing so many things. They have to maintain the household. Teachers, their job, because sometimes people would say, oh, but you know, what experience you have dealing with the kids. And then I remember when we had our head boy, at the time he was, I think, about 16. You know, born in devotee family like this. And so we had, it was an elderly couple, you know, like in their 50s or something like that, Indian. And they always like to, you know, push really strong. You know, what knowledge you have. You're a kid. You know, we're adults. We're mature. We've been at this for so long. And he says, no, I know way more than you do or will ever know. And they, huh? How is that? He says, how much time do you spend with your kids in a day? Right? You get up in the morning, you're running around trying to get everything ready. You prepare breakfast. Then at breakfast, you're sitting there and talking. Then you take them to school, drop them off. Or they go to school on their own, depending upon what environment you have. Right? Then after that, then they're going to be at school all day. Then you're going to be at work. Right? Then they're going to come home. And there's another 2-3 hours till you get home. Then when you get home, then you're busy with this, that, and winding down from your day and having to prepare dinner and take care of this and that. So in a day, you might spend 2-3 hours dealing with your kid. That's on a good day. Many parents, it's less. And he pointed out, from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep, we're dealing with them 18 hours a day. So we have way more experience than you have. So this idea is just because the kid's mind, I know more, not necessarily. You may, as a parent, be very well knowledgeable in this thing because you learned it from your parents. But just because you're a parent doesn't mean you know what to do. Right? I mean, dogs beat parents, but how good a parent is a dog? Cows, now that's a good parent. Elephants, they're good parents. Dogs and cats, not very good parents. You know? So this whole idea, that's why it's mother, father, and teacher. Because the mother and father, they take care of you. No one else is taking care of you like that. But the teacher is teaching you like no one else can. No parent can teach like the teacher can, if they're a proper teacher. You know? I mean, otherwise, why is it that, you know, during the lockdowns, everyone stays at home, the kids are at home and studying? Why are the parents freaking out when the schools are going to open? If it was so easy, they would just say, hey, this is great, I like this. No, but then they find out what the teachers are doing. So that's the thing. What the parent tolerates, the teacher doesn't have to tolerate. And what the teacher tolerates, the parents don't deal with. So that's why it has to be that combination. Mother deals with one aspect, father with another, and teacher with another. And that way between the three, then you have complete training. Then you have the proper input. And that's just his core. Of course, then you have the, you know, the rest of the family, the community, other people, you know, that you're inspired by. Like that, it just grows. But those three, it starts from. So that kind of aspect is important. So it has to be appreciated that you have to put in the time to tell them, explain to them. You can't think this, my kid, I told him he should just go. I'm too busy for this. Then don't have children. You know? Like that. Read Harry Potter or something like that, you know? Something about kids, you know? It's like that, you know? But don't have them. You know? But that's the difficulty we have to appreciate is that it means time. I'll show you an interesting thing here. This is a letter to Arundhati, July 30th, 1972. So this was, you know, in this little thingy here, you have all that. Daivashakti Mataji put it together, or Daivashakti Prabhu, or whatever you want to call her. Like that. Prabhupada's saying this, child worship is more important than deity worship. If you cannot spend time with your child, then stop the duties of pujari. These children are given to us by Krishna. They are Vaishnavas, and we must be very careful to protect them. These are not ordinary children. They are Vaikuntha children. And we are very fortunate. We can give them a chance to advance further in Krishna consciousness. That is very great responsibility. Do not neglect it or be confused. Right? So, of course, you have to balance that with Prabhupada said, just taking care of your child, that's not your service. You know, you still want to chant your rounds and follow the principles and you know, the Vaishnava etiquette and all these different things. But the point is if you can do both, do both. If not, take care of your child. I've seen so many children when the child's small, then the parents are all pure devotees being engaged in service and neglect their children, literally. Then when the kid grows up and they get into their teenage years where now they'd rather be with their friends, now suddenly the parent is, oh, but you know, why won't you be with us? Why won't, you know, what happened to the, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Pure Devotee here? You've never seen it? It's constantly, you know? So that's the whole thing is that if you have kids, you're going to spend time with them. And if you don't, then why? And spending time means interacting, not you know what I'm saying? So there has to be a mood that has camaraderie. That's why it says it takes a village to raise a child, right? That's an African saying, you know, but that's the whole point. In India, you have these big families and that, so we have our communities and all this. But the community means you have common values. So, and then devotee, no, everyone should be able to have their own, you know, what they want to do and that. Then yes, you can do, but there's no community. As far as family close-knitness, the more liberal someone is, the less they have that. And the more traditional they are, the more they have that. Think about it. When you talk about groups of people that they identify and work together and that, they have traditional values. And the ones that all have their philosophy of this and that, and we're all equal and all this and that, they don't even really have any solid friends. As long as they say the same thing, then they're friends. If they say something different, they're rejected immediately. So that's Maya. The Ajnana Shakti makes makes right look like wrong and wrong look like right. That's why we have to be very, very careful. So the point is you have children, you have to put in the time. But you have to put in the time how the children like you putting in the time, not I decide this is what it is and they gotta like it. You have to figure out what they do like. And see that it's progressive. You know, that it's human. So it's always a balance, it's a delicate balance. You know? But if people are going to be self-centered, it's all about themselves. What about me? What about my time? What about then, you know, why get involved with this? Then you're going to have a kid that's exactly the same. So if the parents are like that, that's because their parents were like that. And go back a few generations and, you know, maybe, you know, how you say, at least around there, you know, in the 40s and all that, and 30s and 40s when life was tough, then maybe they all worked together and everything like that. But then after the war was over, then it was party mode, and then it was downhill from there. So their children aren't that great. You know what I'm saying? Because before that, you saw there was a sense of responsibility. But you see people who are born from the, you know, basically the 50s on, no real sense of responsibility, not the same like previous. They have their own values in that, but they don't have the sense of responsibility to community and social norms. You know, of course, with the karmis, it's all speculative and nonsense, but the point is at least the principle of it, they're willing to accept. Does that make sense? So in other words, it comes down to whatever you want to do. If you want to be successful, you have to be Krishna conscious. That's the bottom line. There's no trick. You're Krishna conscious, then Krishna will give you the intelligence how to make things work. Right? And if you don't, it's not going to work. And 10-year-olds, they're the nicest ones. 10-year-olds are the ones that can relate to adults and this and that. It's from 11 that they start to go weird. Is that okay?
I would say understandable.
Yeah.
Rari Prabhu, you have a question?
Yes. Yes, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai Ho, Jai Ho, Hare Krishna.
I would like just ask you about when you are dealing with children. I have also children, and I also try to preach somehow or other. Sometimes happens that, you know, you inspire them to do the things how they should do, and then after sometimes they also try to practice, but they doesn't get the taste there in these, you know, activities, like in, say, spiritual activities. And you know, you like father or you are like a teacher, you have the strength also to push them to do it, but this makes them, you know, it can make even worse, you know, to that activity. And so you know, not to say how to overcome how deal with the students or with the children in such a way they feel still inspired, you know, in these activities, even if they doesn't have taste in it.
Huh. But that's it, that's why then the educational process is important, because it's just like how we're adults doing them. It's not necessarily they have a dynamic taste. Individuals might, and that's very, very good. But even they don't, it's through intelligence they know they should do this. So you see in small kids, you explain things to them, and how you explained it to them, they see this is right. And then they apply that in their life. And let's say they're doing something, they're small, so you explain to them in that situation how to do it. But they see someone else in a different situation doing it differently, and then they'll point out they're doing it wrong. So then you have to explain how to just keep the same principle, but now these two situations, how the same thing's being applied in two different situations, you're expanding their understanding. So kids naturally have a sense of right and wrong. You explain it to them. And if you're doing, you like doing it, or at least you're convinced to do it, even you don't have a taste, you can give them what you have. You have a taste, you can give them a taste. You are convinced, you can help them be convinced. But you have to be involved. It's not that they have to do because of this. It's that you have to explain why it's nice and what we'll do and how we'll do it and this and that. And so it's you have to try from many, many different angles. Because for spiritual things, it's about inspiration. Right? So much of the time, we'll be very strong on the spiritual things. And, you know, that it has to be done. But then on the material things, like proper behavior, we let it slide. Oh, you know, we're not fanatic. But it's actually the other way around. The children can't misbehave. You know, this is what you do. You can't say like that. You can't speak like that. Don't be rude. Speak nicely. Say please. Say thank you. These kind of things like that. You know, those things they have to do. Because that's the duties. But Krishna consciousness, that's where the voluntary is. So you have to inspire them in that. But on the other side, that has to be done. But you find nowadays, much of the time, parents do it the opposite way. When it comes to behavior, I've seen parents where a three-year-old kid, somebody walks by, and the kid says all kinds of stupid stuff or throws things at them and all that, and the mothers just sit there and laugh. Oh, look at the kid, isn't he cute? No, the guy's acting like a nonsense. How are you letting him do that? Oh, he's just a kid. Yeah, and that mentality when he's a teenager, then what? Right? Now he goes to you when there's a problem. But when he's a teenager, he won't go to you at all. He'll go to his friends. Then what are you going to say? Oh, you know, everyone's an individual. You got to let them go their own way, find their own path. That's a direct quote. Parents that we're trying to teach us that, no, you can't do it like that. You know, that's not the way to do it. You should do it like this. They pull the kid out of the school. And then you see the parent, you know, 3 years later and that, oh, okay, yeah, how's it going like that? How's the kid going? Oh, you know, he's off. He's traveling the world and that. Oh, you don't see? No, he never contacts us. You know, you got to let people do, you know, like now they're just encouraging. So that's the thing is they're liberal on behavior and then strict on the Krishna consciousness. When you're supposed to be strict on the behavior and liberal on the Krishna consciousness. You're trying to encourage them and inspire them, educate them, explain why we do it. Explain what you like about it. You know, you like going to the temple because of this. And as we said before about the apple and the tree, you know, how you say, algorithm there, then they catch these things. Does that make sense? So it's always going to be difficult, but that's why we get involved. I mean, if one was looking for the easy way out, you know, for a simple, one would stay a brahmachari, no? One gets married for the taste of it's complicated. No?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. So that's the thing, it's work. So one put in the work and one gets the benefit. That's why that doing that through life, then at Vanaprastha, you can sit back and relax on these social things because you know how to do them. And you can explain to others what to do. You've been through your life, you know what to do. So you can say, yes, you can do like that, but this is what will happen. But if you do it like this, then it'll be like this. And they do it or not, what do you care? That's the advantage of grandparents. Grandparents, generally, you can see many times have more influence on the children than their own parents. Why? Because the grandparent isn't attached. They say it, you do it, fine. If you don't do it, what to do? But the parent is, because it's my kid, I said they have to do it. Without explanation. Well, grandparents always explain. They have nothing else to do, so they sit there and explain things. So parents say, I don't have time for this, then have grandparents around. Problem is that a lot of times, first generation, their parents aren't great devotees. So when you have third generation kids, their parents will be their grandparents will be devotees, right? Parents are devotees, they're devotees. You know, then you have strong community. But until you get to that point, then it'll have its, you know, ups and downs. Is that all right? You just have to explain and talk and things like that. Why you do and this and that, and tell stories and, you know, inspire and do things with them. Maybe you had something else you were going to do, but no, then you sit and spend the time with them. You can always work out another time, because it's not, the kid needs more attention now, but it's not always like that. You give that attention now when they need it. Then there's other times when they don't need it. They're okay. That's when you have your time. That's the whole point, is that we have this idea, when I want the time, it's my time, and great, that's fine, you know. If you have nannies and you have, you know, teachers and all those kind of things, you know, in your house that can take care of these things, great. But if not, then when it's there, it's the same way, right? You know, husband and wife, sometimes they need more time, other times they don't. You know, so it's the same way with the kids. You know, so the smaller they are, the more constant it is they need attention. And the bigger they get, then you know, they have other things they can do, and then they'll come back and this like that. That's why in the Vedic system, then the women, then they're the most clever, right? Because like you said, you have to be clever to catch the children and get them to do things. The women are four times more clever than men. So they can get kids to do all kinds of stuff that the men may or may not be able to get them to do. So that's why in the Vedic culture, then, you know, the women were professionals at taking care of the household and the family and making sure everything goes all right. But in the modern scenario, then they try the opposite, try to destroy all this, saying, no, they'll be professionals by going out and making money. Great, go out and make money. What are you going to come home to? Nothing. But whatever it is, they're happy with this, so go for it. But in reality, you don't put the effort, attention into the kid. When they get old, they will not put attention into their juniors. So you see, persons that can spend time with people and put that energy into people, people have done that for them when they were younger. And people that can't, they didn't have. It's like a battery. You charge the battery, then you can do so many things. You don't charge the battery, there's nothing there to work with. So the beauty of Krishna consciousness is, even if one hasn't had that same input, but by intelligence you understand the importance of it, that you can, by intelligence, do the work. Right? Even though you don't have that experience. And by intelligence you do, and then with time you start to see the value of it and get the taste in it, and then it works nicely for you. But as Prabhupada pointed out, you know, kids need time. And if you're not giving it to them, then how it'll work? You know? And time means time on what works for them, not what works for you. When you're spending time with them, it has to be on their terms. Means you have to explain things that they understand. You know, you have to do things in the context of what they want to do. You make it Krishna conscious, but you have to make it in context of what they can relate to. They're an individual. Means there's something common in the consciousness of the parents at conception, that they have a particular mentality. But that's where it ends. They're an individual soul that happened to be moving throughout the universe, and it just happened to be they need a body, and you're looking for a body, and haribo, we have a, you know, we have a match. Does that make sense?
Yes, so basically it means that we should be more in the serving mood to children.
Exactly. I've even heard some elder ladies talk to younger ladies that the important thing as a woman to learn by having children is you're not the lord of the universe. You're not the center of attention, because kids very make it very obvious that they're the center. And so women have to be humble. Men to deal with the women have to be humble. Everybody has to be. So the point is, the soul by nature is servant. That's the first teaching that Lord Chaitanya says to Sanatana Goswami. That the soul is servant by nature. He establishes that, then shows how the perfection of that service then is in context of Krishna. But the first point, they're servants. Right? The jiva is a servant. So when we take it as service, then we will see it will progress naturally. It's natural for us. If we want to be, I'm the big guy and I'm the this and I'm the that, all these upadis, that's where we'll have all the problems. So that last question we had about dealing with the students that, you know, somebody does something wrong and all that, you know, that, then it's a matter of upadi. Is that, oh, this is a new guy, these are devotees' children. Well, no, if they're in your program, they're all devotees. You know, you weren't a new bhakta at some point. It's like they're talking as if they were born in devotee families. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? You know? You know, they're more fortunate than you are. What age did you join Krishna consciousness? Right? 18, 20, 22, 24. What age did they join? They're draining 14, 16 like this because they were talking about the teenagers. So they're more pious. So in other words, that person you're throwing out of the school because you say they're new are more qualified than the person throwing them out. Otherwise, why did they join when they're 14? Why did it take you until, you know, you've been through, you know, eating every cow on the planet, taking every drug and having sex with everything that moves before you finally go, wow, this place is not so great. There must be an alternative. Well, they haven't done any of this. And somehow or another, we're throwing them out? So we have to appreciate is that this false ego and the upadis will not make anything work. That's why the bureaucracy, these moves will never work, because it's based on upadis and based on false ego and not on a sense of duty. It can't work. It's impossible. You know, that's like saying I'm going to run my Lamborghini on carrot juice or something, you know. Very good for health and everything, you know, sustainable, you know, organic. They're organic carrots, come on, you know. I even leave the peel on so you get the full vitamins and minerals, you know, like that. And I don't filter it, you know. We just grind it up, and as it is, we just put it right in the car. Doesn't matter. Say whatever you want, you know, it's Krishna's world, Krishna's laws. We follow it, it works. If we're a servant, it works. You know, and being a Brahminical society, then it's about understanding Brahman. Krishna is the supreme Brahman, we as servitor Brahman, and how devotional service is transcendental. Then it's very strong. But if we think, no, I've been this for this long, and I've been that for that long, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I've done this, and I've done that, then, you know, then you've stopped. Means whatever you've done, it never gets lost. That's the beauty of devotional service. But are we advancing at that point? No, we have to be very, very careful.
Anytime, maybe you are forgetting that it's not our children, it's Krishna's children.
That's also there. Yes. Yes. Very good point. Very good point. You know, we have the responsibility, just like it's Krishna's house, but you have the responsibility for that particular house. But it's still, your responsibility is taking care of Krishna's house, and you do that by living in it and taking care of it nicely. So that's the same way. The body's Krishna's, All the paraphernalia is Krishna's. Everything's Krishna's. You know? It all is Krishna. It all belongs to Krishna. But what is interesting to Krishna is when we see ourselves in relationship to Krishna and, you know, and center our attention on Krishna, that reciprocation, that becomes very nice for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is the core is Krishna consciousness. If that is there, then so much nice technique you can add to that. But the point is if we're not Krishna conscious, we can't actually make the technique work. Right? It means it's either already working for us because of karma. Like you say, well, some karmis, that it just works for them, you know, naturally. That's because they've followed the shastras, they've done the austerity in previous lives, so that's why this life it goes easy for them. But because they're not connecting things to Krishna, they're not following the Vedas now, they won't have it in the future. So that's why you can see anybody from any background become Krishna conscious and be committed to that. But as far as technical details, who can do what, that's according to nature. Everybody can do kirtan and take part and sing and take prasad and you know, take part in the festival and all these things. But if you get into technical skills, that's who has the knowledge for that skill. They can do that. That's why there's the sense of duties. Right? You know, this idea, well, anybody can do that. No, anybody can chant Hare Krishna. But not anybody could manage the temple or cook lunch or do this and that. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Sometimes we do also such you know, mistakes that we are thinking that we are serving, but and it seems like it is like Krishna conscious, you know, but actually it doesn't necessarily be, because the result will be just opposite. You know, you can have also like good intention. Okay, I am thinking this is good for the child or for the student or for, you know, anyone, but the result will be, you know, not as should be expected, you know, when you say it not properly, even when you say it true, but the person cannot accept from you if you don't say, you know properly, or you divorce is when you don't say properly also. And it's also accepted. So sometimes we also do such kind of mistakes.
Yes, but that's the point, is we should learn from our mistakes. It's not that we won't make mistakes. It's if we learn from mistakes. See, sometimes it's thought, oh, if we make no mistakes, we're intelligent. No, if you make a mistake and you learn from it, that's intelligence. If you make the mistake and don't learn from it and keep making the mistake, now that's not intelligent. Now, Prabhupada makes that point, is that you should learn. So therefore, you see, you tried to do your best. Something's not going right. Then analyze what's wrong, what to do, what would be a better way to do, and then try a different angle. But you try to see is that the principle is how to bring someone to Krishna consciousness. What are the valuable points of Krishna consciousness? And try different ways to get. So if to do something is there, then you figure out how to do. You know? So like that, you use your intelligence on how to make something work. If it didn't work today, then you try something else tomorrow. But like you said there, you know, if we're following these things, like divorce generally means is that we did it the one way and know we're right, and, you know, well, why don't they change, you know, I'm doing so much. And so that's not serving, that's not using the intelligence, that's not adjusting, and so therefore then things won't work out. Right? I don't know how you say it in your language. In English, they say irreconcilable differences. That means the differences are so great, there's no way to work it out. And that's just because no one wants to work it out. If you want to work it out, you figure out how to work it out. They're individuals. Everybody's an individual. No one's exactly the same. You know, you're not looking for exactly the same, right? Does that make sense? The socialists are looking for exactly the same. No? What you're looking for is compatible. Equal means compatible. So husband and wife, they're compatible, not equal. No? It's just like you have a bowl and you have a spoon. Are they equal? No. But are they compatible? Yes. And so what the bowl does, the spoon can't do. And what the spoon does, the bowl can't do. So they're compatible. They'll go together. So this whole thing to make everything equal, this is for idiots. You're looking for compatibility. It means there has to be equal nature, but as individuals, there's going to be difference. If there's not difference, then just marry yourself, you know. Get a nice big mirror, dress up, stand there, and then, you know, say your vows, you know. I vow to always do whatever will please you and whatever, make you the center of my life and every like that. You could say it so easily and do it. But if it's a different person, you're supposed to say the same thing, but you can't do it. Why? Because we're it's all about ourselves. So when we have the mood of servant, then things work. That's why it's, the basis is on duty, because duty means sometimes you like to do it, sometimes you don't like to do it, but it's your responsibility, you do it anyway. And then because of doing it, you get good results, therefore you start to like it. But if, because I don't feel like it today, you don't do it, you don't get the good results, then now you've created this situation in which things aren't good, and then people don't like to be in a bad situation. But if you're doing the right thing, then it's a good situation. Then people start to notice, okay, this is better. So that's the importance of duty. But in the modern culture, there's no sense of duty. Right? And especially you see in the corporate world and all these, they try to break this down. You know, you can have a sense of duty to the company, but you can't have a sense of duty towards your family. Because it gets in the way of business. So that's the whole problem, is all these modern, you know, socio-political, economic positions, they're not in support of understanding the laws of God and following the laws of God. They're opposed to it. It's not what laws we say. And because it's only what they do, it's according to the modes and what they like, that's what happens. And then when it doesn't work, they adjust and it becomes crazy. Well, if you follow God's laws, they always work. People say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, you can't do that. It's kind of like, what has changed? Gravity stopped working when Kali Yuga? That was the first thing, right? Isn't that, you know, in the Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira mentioned, it says, gravity doesn't work anymore. We have to tie everything down. It must be Kali Yuga. Oh, it's Kali Yuga. People stop breathing. It's Kali Yuga. No one eats anymore. No one sleeps. No one mates. No one defends. You know, people walk around on their hands. They don't use their feet anymore. Like that. You know, when they eat food, they stuff it in through their ears and up their nose. No one puts it in their mouth anymore. It's Kali Yuga. So in other words, that it's Kali Yuga. You can't do that. This is also for the uninformed, the misinformed, the foolish. It's Krishna's Kali Yuga. And he came in Kali Yuga and told you this is what you can do. And now you can't say, oh, we can't do Lord Chaitanya's mission because it's Kali Yuga. He's the Yuga avatar. He's the Lord of the Kali Yuga. He says what goes on. And then for us to say, no, it's not like that, then that's false ego. We're not the controller. But we want to be. So if we're servant, then that's there. So the first symptom of knowledge is humility. And someone who's committed to Krishna consciousness and not doesn't have faith in mundane things, they're humble. Understanding who we are, self-realization, I'm the soul, I'm not this body, I'm servant of Krishna, that creates humility. So you see, it all goes back to that point. That's the symptom. Not, oh, I'm professional and, you know. You know, like that? So, that's the thing. We make mistakes, learn from it. Use your brain, figure out, okay, what could I have said? In other words, go through your head, what could I have said? What would have been done? I said this, they said that, then I said this, then things didn't go right. Maybe I could have said like this or that, and then, you know, it's like you go through. Then you try it next time. And you might get a little bit of it worked, or it doesn't, and then you try something else until you start to find where it works. Nice. Is that the ceiling over there that we're looking at? Somebody's showing us all the vents in their ceiling. Okay. So that's the whole thing, is that we have to appreciate is that you try, just like here, you know, like you're saying, husband and wife, they say, have a conversation, it didn't work out, then you should be thinking, I could have said this or that, or not that, no, well, who are they, why are they saying this, you know, I'm right, I'm always right, I'm the center of the universe, I'm God, I'm the, you know, everything like that. So it's just a matter of what should I have said, what could I have said, how could I have said, and so like that you go through, it's just like in preaching, you're preaching and you say something, And the audience responds in one way, and you say something, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What could you have said? Right? So then the next time you try that, what you thought would have been better. And if it works, then great, you go down that way. And it goes for a certain distance, then again it doesn't work. Until you just keep going like this, and you figure it out. But this whole thing is, no, I'm right, and everybody else has to change for me. You know, so that's the problem. It's the same problem, is that for me, then everybody has to adjust, but everybody else, then they have to be up to the standard. So that was where our first question is, those you identify with, okay, they're devotees' children, therefore we'll tolerate whatever's going on, but these other kids, we'll get rid of them. So it's the same problem. You know, it's just a different form. There's only two main problems. I mean, people aren't God conscious. That's the main problem. And how they're not God conscious is in two, karma or jnana. And then within karma, you have so many different breakdowns. Within jnana, you have so many different breakdowns. But it's all the same thing. That's why it says chewing the chewed. It's nothing new. So what goes on today went on before. I just saw something where I think it was Socrates was pointing out, if you have democracy, because democracy was started by the Greeks, you know, in the Western world. And he was saying, if you have democracy, it's a good thing as long as the people who are voting are educated in what to look for in a leader. If they're not educated, then they'll pick some idiot. And so, you know, so many thousands of years later, then we're seeing the results. Right? So these things have always been there. You know, one devotee was telling me about, you know, he was talking about, he had, you know, was checking some things in history, and he was checking about Caesar, you know, in Rome. He grew up in a 7-story apartment building. So we think now it's the modern thing, we have apartments, not how they had apartments back then in Rome. You know? And because his mother owned the apartments, her father gave her the apartments to take care of, so she rents them out. The only difference is then you stayed on the ground floor and everybody else was upstairs, and now the guy who's in charge stays on the penthouse on the top and that, because now we have elevators. Before, they only had stairs. Who wants to walk up 7 flights of stairs, right? So, And because of that, they had people from all over the empire staying in that building. So he learned to speak seven languages just by dealing with all the people and the kids and everything like that. So there's nothing new. You know, it's like, let's say in your house, you have underfloor heating. That's considered very fancy heating. Really, really good heating, because heat rises. So if it goes through the floor, then your floor is warm and it goes up and right the whole air. But the Romans, they're the ones that invented underfloor heating. So that's the thing, is there is nothing new, but we always go on like there's something new. It's so different. We're so different. No, you're not. Right? Hiranyakashipu is getting upset with Pladmars. I'm your father, you know, how can you say this to me? How many years ago was that? 50? 100? 150? 150 trillion years ago? You know, I mean, what, you know? So the point is, it's always the same thing. There's nothing new. So that's why when Krishna says something, it's eternal. It applies to everyone everywhere, no matter where they are in the universe. So we have to get over this thing that somehow or another, as Westerners, then we're different. And therefore, all this Vedic stuff doesn't apply to us, and we have to find some new path, a new way. But isn't that, they're saying it as that's something new, but that's just your normal Protestant Christianity. Even, you know, Judaic, Abrahamic, like this, is that God made the world and then he turned it over to people to make it better. No, God made the world, you follow his laws, it'll get better. You don't follow his laws, it'll get worse. But their thing is, no, we're different. We make it happen. So these kind of problems are real problems. But you see, it's just a matter of conviction and Krishna consciousness. If that's there, then you use your intelligence to figure out, you know, how to make things work. Right? And if it's based on attachment, is because I'm attached to family life, therefore I'm going to work hard to figure out how to live with, you know, between husband and wife and how to live with the children, then you put in the effort. But because we're doing it for Krishna, you get purified. And then you come to the point where you're not attached, but you can do it very nicely for Krishna. And that's then very peaceful and nice family life. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. So we always have to see, is these points are there. People come up with, oh, but what about this? What about that? What's the principle that makes this, or principle that makes that? Much of the time you see people are talking about the same principle, they're using two different details. So on the material platform, you can't reconcile these. It means it won't. On the spiritual platform, because everything comes from Krishna, the Achintya Shakti reconciles everything because it's all from Krishna. So in Krishna, for the devotees, unless you use Krishna consciousness, you can't reconcile the differences between people. Why? Because they don't take it back to Krishna. They just argue their point. No, if you do it like this, nothing will work. Why won't it work? Oh, it's just obvious it won't work. So explain to us how it won't work. Why you have to waste my time like that? If you don't understand, then why should I? So that just say, I don't know. Just say, I don't know how it connects to Krishna. But due to my conditioned nature, I am attached to doing it in this way, and you're doing it in that way. And if I was a karmi, I would never talk to you. But because we're devotees, somehow or another, we're here together in the same room. So how do you reconcile that? Is figuring out what's the principle behind it. And then working on the principle, then you can work out these details and differences and all that. But without Krishna, no question of it. Otherwise, the United Nations, how sophisticated, how intelligent the people are, how much sophistication, how much money they have. But they can't work it out. Every year there's a new country. You know, and they're still fighting. I haven't looked lately, but I remember, I think it was like 10 or 15 years ago or something, I was looking, and there's 150 wars going on all over the planet. Just that they're always going on, so you never hear about them, right? You know, nobody cares, because unless it's fresh news, you know, news of fresh disasters, no one cares. Like, you know, okay, it's flooding in Germany. Okay, you hear about that in the news. No, but other things that are going on, you know, like that, that there's, you know, the garbage isn't being taken out properly and all that, that you're not going to hear about. So that's the thing, is that with Krishna, you know the principle, then you know what's working. Because if you don't know the principle, how do you know what's working? And so when you analyze that principle and you see the details, you see people may be trying to get the same thing. Or you can point out where the weakness is. You can see what they're trying to get, but the method they're using won't get it. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Krishna consciousness is the central point. It makes family life work between husband and wife. It makes family life work between parents and children. It makes family life work between families and families and community. It makes education work. It makes management work. It means preaching. It means teaching. It means all these things work. The same thing. The same principles make everything work, because everything comes from Krishna. So it's very simple. A lot of effort, you know, a lot of work. But still, it has a common point. You know, it's just like, let's say all the cooks get together and say, okay, we're having a big festival, so what should we cook? We'll cook this, 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 this. That discussion amongst people who are expert at cooking, 5-10 minutes, they've worked out a menu. Now, it'll take them the next 3 days to get all that together. Because someone has to go, they have to get the money, they have to buy it, they have to prepare it, something's from here, something's from there. You know, who's going to cook this, who's going to cook that, all the details. And so all that will take all the time, but it's based on the principle. Therefore, you have a good menu. Therefore, it's a nice feast. Therefore, it was a nice festival. Does that make sense?
I think that one thing I wanted to ask you, even though you generally answer it, but something like the end of the seminar, how we can realize that our upbringing of the teaching the children is really successful, really working.
People are happy in Krishna consciousness. They're happy, they like being with devotees, they like doing what they're doing. The kids like the educational system, you know, what's going on there, basically, then that's, you can tell it's successful. You know, they're learning good character, they're advancing in Krishna consciousness, they can cooperate with each other, cooperate with the teacher, they like the environment. That's what you'll say is successful. Because if you have that, then you can do anything else you want. But if you don't have that, you know, even if you have a fabulous PhD program, there's a good chance that they're not going to do it. You know, so it's the same, it'll be the same in anything. How is our preaching program? How is the Brahmacharya Ashram? How's the temple program? How is the community? You know, has all these different things, the same thing. Right? And you're taking it that basically it's like that. There's not that there's not going to be a bad day. The kid hates eggplant, but there's eggplant for lunch, so it's not going to be a good day for it. But, you know, as long as there's no eggplant, it's fabulous, right?
Is there somebody who wants to ask more question? Maybe I have the one more. It's maybe for what is the rule of the PC and the connection with the education of the children in the yatra? What is this position or what?
Position of PC.
GBC.
Oh, position of GBC.
Yeah.
See, is basically speaking, is because we're dealing with a Brahminical society. And so in the society, you're going to have that goal of Krishna consciousness and the practices of Krishna consciousness. So that's the main thing that everyone is trying to accomplish. But as individuals and as an institution, then you're going to have to organize all that very nicely. So you're going to have administration aspects, you're going to have economic aspects, you're going to have the basic knowledge and skills, and you're going to have, you know, see that it's progressing nicely. But all that is secondary in connection with the primary, which is to become Krishna conscious. So since that's the most important thing, that's what the GBC and the sannyasis, you know, and your preachers, that's their business, is to see that everyone is focused on that. And then, of course, let's say for a temple president, you show how his situation connects to that, you know, their farm community, how that connects to the Krishna consciousness. You're doing a running a school, how that connects, or you're running a restaurant, how that connects. You know, or you're doing a book distribution or Harinam, how it all connects. That's the most important thing. The management, you have managers for that. People who know management, they manage it. Somehow or another, in the modern kind of environment, they've elevated management way beyond its position. It's important, but it's only important if you're getting this. It's just like if I go in the kitchen and I'm organizing and managing, you know, everything, and everything's in its place and that, you know, but the cooks can't cook because as soon as they pick up a pot, no, the pot goes there. Why are you walking off of the pot? You know, you get out some rice, no, the rice goes in that thing there, no one can do it. It's fabulously managed place, but nothing happens. So in other words, management supports, let's say in a kitchen, cooking. You know, so the point is the mission, its management is to ensure that people are becoming God conscious or moving closer and closer to Krishna in their relationship with Krishna. That's what it's for. So if that's there, then it's perfect. And if it's not there, then what's the point? So much political this and that and so many things as if it's so important. It's not important. It has its place, but you have to know the importance. So therefore, becoming Krishna conscious is the big thing. And it's just like, can you walk down the street if you haven't tied your shoes properly? No. But does that mean tying your shoes is more important than walking down the street, or tying your shoes takes up more attention in that than walking down the street? No, so that's the same way as all this management and all these things. Their value is that they can organize Krishna conscious activities. You know, it's like you manage in the morning to get up out of bed. You had your stuff ready so you can take your bath quickly. Your clothes are organized, so that's there. So in a very short time, you're ready. You can be chanting. You know, you manage, but the management was so you could be more Krishna conscious. So if it's seen like this, then you see the GBC's real importance comes out, which is to see all this is going on. But if you take it, management's more important, and then you try to make GBCs into management, good luck. First of all, then they have to have the condition qualification of management. But as we said, all souls can understand Krishna consciousness. Therefore, anybody who's mature in Krishna consciousness can lead, you know, be a leader in Krishna consciousness movement. But to manage, you have to have a management skill. And how many managers do you need, right? There's a saying in America, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. You know, you need one chief and a whole bunch of Indians, like here. But now it's like GBC is the chief, assistant GBC, regional GBC, you know, local GBC, right? That, and they're all trying to tell the temple president what to do. And so then nothing gets done. You know, the temple president is the chief, and everybody else sees that it's all going on. That's the disease in the modern culture, is Brahmins aren't higher than managers. In every other culture of the world, the Brahmins are the highest. Right? You know, I mean, if you have, you know, religion and those kind of aspects, they're always higher. That's why Henry VIII split from the church, because he wanted to be the top. He didn't like it. The Pope was the top. So it's a Western disease. You know? So those who follow religion or more like that, the religious ones are the top. But that doesn't mean they have to manage everything. They have to manage to see that Krishna consciousness is going on. But projects that are going on, they don't have to manage. They can manage new projects and set them up. But once they're set up and you put someone in charge, then they move on. And then they oversee that it's going nicely. Otherwise, then why delegate? If you're going to do it all yourself, then do it. And then you take the responsibility. Don't delegate. Don't let them work. And then they get the blame and you get the glory. That's doesn't work. So one has to understand is that focus on the Brahminical, as a Brahminical society, the Brahminical activity, you know, Krishna consciousness is the main thing. That's what you're trying to ensure. That's the business of the GBC. So are people becoming Krishna conscious? Are the leaders Krishna conscious? Are the devotees Krishna conscious? Are the communities, are the families, are the kids? That's what you're trying to see. And if that's there, then it's going nicely. Right? And if it's not, then there's a problem. So you have to see, what's the problem? How are they not Krishna conscious? Because if someone's Krishna conscious, material things will work out. If they're not Krishna conscious and materially it's working, it won't work for long. I've seen some temples, everything's managed perfectly, and then they're not the manager anymore. And constantly I see that. You know, because they weren't Krishna conscious enough. You know, or maybe they were Krishna conscious, but they were too proud. So they couldn't cooperate, they couldn't do this or that. It's a problem. And so one has to see is that ensuring Krishna consciousness is there and cultivating of the Krishna conscious mood and mentality, you know, as Rupa Goswami gives in the Upadeshamrita, that's the business of the GBC. Prabhupada said the duty of a sannyasi, that's the same, the GBCs is the same as that. So I'm not sure when he said that, but it was quite early, maybe 72, 73 or something like that, or maybe 74, but he made it very clear. It's the same, and he said it a few times. So just as the sannyasis don't tell the president what to do, the GBC don't tell him what to do. But if he's not Krishna conscious, that they can tell him. And they can point out how some of his policies aren't very Krishna conscious. And then the president should then get it together and make him Krishna conscious. Right? Somebody the other day was telling me, someone who's, you know, very qualified in that. He says, I don't like it when people tell me what to do. I can function when people tell me what needs to get done. And then I'll work it out. So that's the principle. If someone doesn't know what to do, then you tell them. Okay, GBC, the new guy, he's there, new temple president, doesn't. Then you tell him. But once he knows what to do, then you let him do it. But what he's trying to obtain, that you do. You see, in any big organization, that's what they do. The top people, their leaders, they tell them, this is what we want to accomplish. They don't tell them how to do it. Right? Means we have Rupa Goswami and has given us how to become Krishna conscious. We simply have to see, how does that apply into our situation? So that drive, that inspiration, that's what the sannyasis and GBCs and the preachers are for. Right. Is that all right? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I think that we are coming and because the time is over.
Yes, yes.
And I want to thank you for your time and your attention.
Okay.
Our thing, and also I want to thank all the devotees who participate in the seminar, and I hope that it were in some way inspiring for them. And I hope that we can continue in the future with some other, and we can continue also with our Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jaini Tai.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki
jai. Haribha.